Blog Talk Radio.
Today's segment of the A New Day Show. Happy Sunday to you if you are in the USA, and for those of you in other parts of the world, I hope you had a really, really, really amazing day today. As always, it's my honor and privilege to be with you on this broadcast today. And for those of you who are listening, whether you're listening on your iPhones or on your PC, whichever way you choose to listen, I do appreciate you very, very much. As usual, I am your guest. I am your host. Excuse me. I would love to be a guest someplace today. I am your host, Dynamic Daphne. And as always, on a Sunday, I have guests on who are either reinventing their lives or has reinvented their lives. They are embracing adversities and to learn the lessons from those things, or they have experienced or in the midst of experiencing some kind of transformation and empowerment in their lives. Today's guest is Elisa Becacara, and she is a licensed acupuncturist, and she's been hanging out in the virtual green room with me for a while, and momentarily I will bring
Daphne?
Sign up and mark the show favorite and favorite, and you will be kept informed of all the things that we are doing. So without any further delay, I would like to bring on my honored guest, Elise. Elise, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Yes, I had you on mute. I think you forgot. I told you I was muting you in the beginning. So I want to thank
Hello?
Please,
yes.
Here. Are you
Hello?
Hearing? Yes. Can you hear? Are you? Hello?
Hello?
Can you not hear me?
It keeps coming in and out. It's crackling a little bit.
Are you wearing a headset?
No.
Okay, so is that any better?
Yeah, it's still crackling and it's a little bit low. You're in and out.
I don't know why everything is the way it is.
Now it's good. No, it's not.
Is that better?
Okay, I can hear you now.
Okay. Well, welcome to the show. Would you please take this time to introduce yourself to the listeners?
Well, thank you, Daphne. My name is Elise Beccaria, and I am a licensed acupuncturist in Brookfield, Connecticut. What else do you want to know?
I ask you to introduce yourself, so I don't know what you want to tell us.
Oh, well, I guess what I want to tell you is that I met Daphne last about a week and a half ago. She had come into my office and we were talking about, she asked a question which I get often is how I became an acupuncturist.
Oh, okay.
And I told her a little bit about my story. And
And we are not going there yet. I just wanted you to do a formal introduction. So,
okay.
Since you're not going there, I will just continue. The next thing I want to ask you, Elise, is just to set the stage for my listeners. My listeners come in different demographics, different ethnicity, different cultures, different countries. My listeners are from around the world. Would you choose to share your beginning, you know, where you were born, how you grew up, and all that kind of a thing? Would you choose to tell us that, please?
Sure. Well, it's a kind of an interesting story, believe it or not. I was adopted when I was 4 days old, and I was my biological mother, who I later found her when I was about 30 years old. She had given me up because she was young and she couldn't afford to keep me, so she put me up for adoption. I was adopted and raised by a Jewish family, and the reason why I mention that is because if you saw my biological mother, or if you saw my picture, you can see that. More so when I was younger, that I definitely didn't look Jewish. I have an Irish look to me with the freckles and the green hair. Be that as it may, I always grew up a little bit kind of people always asking me, you're not Jewish, you know, and that was always an issue. On top of being adopted, I always felt a little bit left out, a little bit awkward, a little bit uncomfortable. I didn't look like my parents. I didn't look like my brother. And I struggled a lot with my identity as a child. On top of people always saying to me, you're not Jewish, you know, you don't look Jewish, which is ridiculous because you can be any religion and any race and be whatever you want to be this day and age. So you're not necessarily born into a religion, you're kind of raised into a religion, I believe. As I grew up, my quest for I guess alternative medicine started off as I was a big athlete growing up, and I used to get shin splints and bad backs all the time, and my parents used to bring me to their chiropractor, and I was have found relief with him, and I fell in love with that medicine, and I thought, this is what I want to be when I grow up. So my growing up in high school, I said, okay, I'm going to go to college, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to become a chiropractor. I went to college up at SUNY Albany, and with the intention of getting through school and then going to become a chiropractor afterwards. But during my years at school, I found it more interesting, the psychological part of medicine. So I got my degree in psychology with the intention to get a still going to become a chiropractor. Towards the end of my career in college, my parents, who had owned an environmental contracting company, which was like asbestos removal, lead paint abatement, and mold abatement, they said, come and work for us, because business was, they were doing really well and they needed help, and they said, come and, you know, work for us for a couple of years and then see what you want to do, because I wasn't 100% sure and I was a little nervous. So I went to work for my parents, and I started from the bottom up. I started doing all the, you know, the secretarial stuff, answering the phones, and then slowly got up to billing and payroll and invoicing, and then eventually I got into sales. And I worked with my parents for many years, and I did sales, and I was very good at it, and I enjoyed it. But I kind of wasn't really feeling that it was my calling to do. I wanted, there was always something that I felt was out there for me, and I wasn't really quite sure what it was, but it was a steady paycheck. I got to do, you know, I had kind of come and go as I wanted, and I had a relatively easy life, you know, with that. Then what happened was when I was deciding to change my career in life, my boyfriend at the time, we were thinking about doing some kind of a, he was doing mail order at the time, and we had gone away to Florida. And while I was away, my father, who was 51 years old, unexpectedly died, and which did completely and utterly devastated. It was something that was completely unexpected. He had an abdominal aortic aneurysm and woke up one morning feeling pain and pressure in his chest. And then within an hour, he was gone, and I was completely shocked, and my whole world was completely rocked. But there's a kind of a silver lining to that story, because it kind of led me on a journey to taking care of myself and kind of a rediscovery of who I was, what was important to me, what wasn't important to me, with my friends, with my relationship, with my mother, my father. I have an older brother who is also adopted, and he is physically and mentally handicapped, so he had his challenges, and I was a caregiver for him for many years and a protector of my brother. And so I went on this path of first, you know, you're going through all the changes in your life when someone that's very close to you dies, and trying to figure out from the body, you kind of hit the bottom, and then you kind of figure out who you are, and you're picking up the pieces. So I kind of did a reevaluation of my life and decided that, you know, there was something better out there for me. So took many years of soul searching and trying talking to different people and whatnot. I had. Back in the day, I was bartending at a friend's bar in Stamford, and that's where I met my husband. And the weird thing was that the day that I first started really talking to him was the day before I was going to meet my biological mother. I'd done a search and online. This is before, like, online was super as like sophisticated as it is now. So I did I paid for a service to find her, and I connected with her and found her, and so we were going to meet for the first time that day after. So it was a Friday night, and the day after on Saturday at 11:30, I was going to meet this woman who had given me up, I think it was 30-something years ago, so I was a little bit nervous. Now, the reason why that's worth mentioning is because later on I found out that my husband was also adopted. Mm. So we had started dating. Yep.
Elise? Yeah. Okay. Can you just catch a breath? I need to take a commercial break.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
All right, I also want to remind you to save the date, May the 23rd through the 26th, for the Vision Weekend Conference, which is a vision transformation revolutionary conference for entrepreneurs and small business people. You do not want to miss it, so mark your calendar, put the date down, because you want to be there. I also want to let you know that the chat room is open and the lines are open. Call in. The number is 646-915-8166. Again, 646-915-8166. Call in with all your questions. My honored guest is Elise Bakakara.
Bakaria.
She is Bakaria, thank you. And she is a licensed. And then when you mentioned about not looking Jewish, and I really don't understand what that means. And a lot of times I get the same question being asked to me if I'm having a conversation with someone on the phone, and they'll ask me, well, who were they, white, black, Italian, Jewish? I say, I don't know. I was on the phone. They say, oh, but don't you know? And I said, well, if I'm on the phone, unless someone tells me, how am I going to know? And this is a stereotypical thing that our society do. And I cannot imagine being a child and going through that. I just can't. And can you recall the first time, or the first couple of times, when you were asked that question?
Yeah,
how it made you feel?
Yeah, I remember when I was about four and a half years old, which I know it sounds young, but I remember going to Florida with my parents. We were visiting my grandparents, and someone saying to my mother, "Wow, who does she look like? Because she doesn't look like you." My mother is very very dark, very Mediterranean looking. So she's dark hair, dark eyes, dark skin. She had a pointed nose, kind of strong features. And here I was, this little strawberry blonde, green-eyed, freckled-faced little girl. So you look at us and you kind of knew that either the father looked completely different or that there was something going on. And I remember them saying to me, you know, boy, she doesn't look like you. And my mom says, she recalls a story, and I kind of remember that I had my little hands on my hip and I said, that's because I'm adopted. So I mean, I always
right.
knew that I was adopted. I was a little sassy about it.
You told them.
Yeah, yeah, I did. And I was
You told them.
Yeah. But as I grew up, I think...
Elise, from an early age, you knew how to stood up for yourself. And that's powerful. Because there's still a lot of people who that kind of a treatment is hindering even into adulthood. So I applaud you for that stand.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, that was the beginning of a lot of people asking me, not so much that I didn't look like my parents, but I grew up in a religious, you know, a conservatively religious Jewish family. And I guess when I got older and I was a teen, or even earlier than that, I used to go to summer camp, and they always used to be like, you know, you look like, you know, your name should be Mary O'Brien or something. I was very stereotypically not the typical Jewish looking girl. I was very Irish looking to people, and they were always like, what do you do? They used to say to me, what are you doing here? What do you, you know, you're not Jewish. You know, you're not supposed to be here at you know, Jewish events, meaning like we used to go to, I was a very active kid in the synagogue. And I went to Hebrew school. I had to be converted when I was 9 years old because my biological mother wasn't Jewish. I went through the whole thing. And so my religion was a huge part of my life. And people used to almost challenge that with me, like, how could you say you don't look Jewish, which is, you know, thinking back, it's ridiculous because, again, you know, you can choose to be whatever religion you want to be. And I remember it made me feel very, very uncomfortable, and it also made me very defensive about my my religion. So I was always, you know, very, I embraced my religion. I, you know, went through all the rites and the rituals and all the ceremonies with being Jewish and being a girl who was Jewish. We had bat mitzvah, I had confirmation. I spent years in Israel. You know, we went to synagogue. It was a really, really big part of my life, and I loved it, and it was a big deal. But it did make me feel very uncomfortable, and I don't know that people did it with a malicious intent, but more out of maybe curiosity and or ignorance, I think, because, you know, in today's world, we live in you know, in a society where there's blended families and different types of families, and, you know, two moms, two dads, you know, one mom, one dad, one mom, no dad. I mean, there's so many different you know, kind of mixtures with everything that people, I think, are getting a little bit better. We still have a way to go in terms of tolerance, but it was hard. And even still today, you know, I met my husband and married him, so my last name became Elise Beccaria, which is notably, or, you know, stereotypically Italian last name. And I can remember being around some people and them making, you know, somewhat of disparaging remarks about Jewish people or a Jewish person that they knew or a Jewish person that they did business with. And, you know, obviously they don't know that I'm Jewish. And my husband would see me start to get, you know, tense, because I've always been that kind of person that if you are going to attack somebody who can't defend themselves, because it started from protecting my brother and then me defending myself, I always felt like the underdog needed to be protected. So it was always very, you don't say bad things about anybody, any race, religion, anything, and I would always get very confrontational about people, and that still kind of sometimes continues to happen. And, you know, my husband would be like, be careful what you say, because my wife is Jewish. And then they would be like, oh, you know, and I would say to them, well, why do you have to know that I'm Jewish to not say something like that in front of me? I mean, that's stupid. You know, you're going to say something anti-Semitic or whatever, and just because you know that I'm Jewish, you're not going to say that. So if you didn't know, it's okay then. I mean, people are, they get kind of, it's a ridiculous thing. So it was, it's always been a little bit of a challenge, because people, you know, they look at us and they're not really sure what to make of me. But if, and, you know, people who know me know my background, or, you know, they're always kind of fascinated by my story and my husband's story and how we met and that we're both adopted and that we kind of have this blended kind of cultural relationship, which is nice.
Hello? Elise?
Hello? Yes?
Do you have a headset?
No, I don't have a headset. I'm on a hard line.
Okay.
Can you hear me? It's got to be this hurricane messing everybody up. Hello?
Change gears out of that. Are you not hearing?
Hello?
Yes. Are you hearing?
Now I'm hearing you.
Yes, I'm saying, hold on, let me see. I hear the guests clearly, but you host are cutting.
Daphne? Hello?
I.
There you are.
I.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. I think we're having technical difficulties here.
Did you not hear the question?
No.
You mentioned...
Hello?
Yes, you mentioned...
I still can't hear you.
You mentioned earlier on... Can
yep.
you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
You mentioned earlier on that you realized that you had another calling.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to go out and you know, find what that calling was. Can you explain what that feeling was?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, the things, I think at the time I was kind of following a path that wasn't chosen by me. It was kind of laid out by my parents with nothing but good intentions, obviously. And my parents wanted me to work with them and help build their business up and, you know, be successful and whatnot. But I think that it wasn't something that I felt totally passionate about, you know, the kind of thing that you want to wake up in the morning and jump out of bed, which is the way I feel now. It was, you know, I was good at it, and I felt got some, you know, kind of accolades, and I enjoyed what I did, but it wasn't, you know, my lifelong journey. I knew that. I just somehow knew that there was something better out there. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know exactly how to get there, but I knew that. I think that my father passing away when I was 25 years old was somewhat of a catalyst to happening to figuring that out.
Mm-hmm.
That it was he sent me on a path to kind of a rediscovery.
So now that you, I am going to go out on the limb and say, you are now operating in your calling and purpose. Can
yes.
you take us back to that time in your life when you eventually identified your calling?
Okay, yeah, that's it. That's easy. It's one of those light bulb moments Oprah talks about. I, my husband and I had gotten married, and like a lot of couples, we wanted to have kids, and we really wanted to have biological children because we were both adopted, and so it was something that we talked about and were excited about. We had gotten married. I was in my early 30s at the time, and we, as soon as we got married, we decided to try and have children, and I wasn't getting pregnant right away, and so I went to the fertility doctors like a lot of women did, and I did all the tests and the probing and the prodding and the this and the that. And what just to back up a little bit, I had had a history of gynecological problems. I had had endometriosis. I got my period when I was a lot younger than I guess I should have been. I was about 9 years old when I first got my period, very painful. I was sick all the time. Long story short, they had put me on the pill for years. I had gone off the pill when I was about 23 years old, and I had had endometriosis. Wound up having emergency surgery when I was 23, where they removed half of the ovary and part of the other one. And why that's important was that flash forward to being 32 years old, now having to go off the pill, which is controlling the endometriosis, and we were running into issues. So We tried IUIs, we did a round of IVF, and nothing was successful. And the doctor said, you need to go on to either egg donor. So I came home one day from the doctor, hysterical, crying to my husband, I'm a failure, you know, I'm not a woman, you know, my body's betraying me, all that stuff that women go through. And I sat and I watched the news, and on came a news article about acupuncture and infertility. And me being the passionate person that I am, went on the internet and started Googling like crazy and did like 2 weeks worth of investigation and acupuncturists and all these people. And I finally went to, I found an acupuncturist, a licensed acupuncturist in New York City named Mike Berkeley, and called him up the next day and made an appointment and went down there and spoke to him and got the acupuncture. And as I'm lying there, it was one of those things, like I said, the light bulb moment where the lights went on, my eyes got clearer, and I was like, wow, this is what I want to do with the rest of my life. This medicine is so powerful. It encompasses all that who I am in terms of how I think and how I feel about the body and the mind connection and how emotions affect your body and your mind and all that. And it was one of those things where this is what I knew I was on this earth to do. Mm-hmm. And the acupuncturist I was seeing, Mike, was said, you would be an amazing acupuncturist. You should definitely go back to school. Now, mind you, I'm in my mid-30s now, and it was a big undertaking. So my husband and I kind of hemmed and hawed for a few months, and he said, listen, if this is something that you're passionate about, go for it. He's like, you'd be amazing at anything that you do. And the next thing I know, I was enrolled, and I went back to school in my mid-30s. And became an acupuncturist, and here I am. And it's every morning I wake up, and I'm just thankful that I have the life that I do.
Wonderful. And as you look back over your life, and you compare your life with all the other jobs, I heard you mention earlier on about you just want to get out of bed now to go to work, and that's a conversation I have with my clients all the time. Is that you know when you are operating in your calling and purpose, and when you choose to embrace your calling and purpose because you're excited about what you do, even if you didn't make a dime doing it, you would still be energized to go out. So I know exactly what you're talking about. But people who have known you and observe you, what are some of the feedbacks that you get about the transformed Elise that you are now?
People were very supportive and excited. I mean, they witnessed, you know, whether it be firsthand or secondhand, the commitment and the dedication and the sacrifices that I had to go through school, and I gave up a huge portion of my life and my relationship, you know, suffered for those 4 years while I was immersed in school. But people were like, I totally get it. It's totally who you are and how you think, and you are wonderful at what you do, and it's almost like this is what I was meant to be, and people agree with that, which is really rewarding, because people agree, people, you know, kind of support you through a big change, you know, mm-hmm. in your mid-30s, mm-hmm. that's important, you know, when your family is the one that suffers because you don't see them enough, you don't talk to them enough, you don't spend enough time with them, you know, in the end, when it's worth it and it works out, it's huge. I mean, it's life-changing.
Elise?
Yep.
There's someone in the chat room says, oh, as if mid-30s is old.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's not old, but you know what? I think today, I think it's, you know, it's not old, of course, but I think that some people are afraid to make such a big leap, you know, later in life, not later in life, but, you know, they kind of think you're kind of on a, you know, a snowball where you're supposed to start at a little snowball and kind of build to in one direction, and that sometimes making a complete change of road is, you know, it's scary. I mean, you're taking a risk. I mean, I saw people a lot older than me, and I see a lot younger than me, people going back to school to become acupuncturists, and it's not for everyone, and it's not meant to be for everyone. But I think, you know, in this day and age, as we get older, society allows us to make big changes in our life in terms of career, which is huge, where women, you know, if they have kids and then all of a sudden the kids are grown or older, they can go back to school and become teachers and real estate agents and whatever it is that they want to be, they can go back to school, and it's not so, you don't feel like, you know, you're the oldest person in the class anymore,
you know,
which is great.
I want to interject here because one of the people in the chat room says something that's powerful. She said that a lot of times people are thinking that immediately after high school, they should choose a career and settle down. And she said it's not possible for them to do that because after high school, they don't know themselves. And Lillian, I could not agree with you more. I am 60, and, you know, I went back to school. I got my PhD when I was 60-something, you know. So you can do what you do. And I have chosen to respectfully disagree with you, Elise, that society does these things. Society doesn't do these things. People make the decision to sit down and to settle. Society has nothing to do with that, because if you realize you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, it's your responsibility to get up and take action. But people sit around, they blame the government, they blame the dog, the tree, they blame society. And so what's your role in all of this? It's really your responsibility to go get.
Yes.
What it is you choose to do. I want to take a commercial break, and I want to welcome guests 45, 57 to the show, and to encourage you guys to call in. I like the dialogue in the chat room, but I also would love to hear your voices on the phone. So call in, ask any question of my guests, and get your answer.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
And I want to remind you that we are back on the air live on Wednesday morning at 10. My guest on Wednesday, one of my guests will be Brian D. Ridgway out of Hawaii. So we're going to be hola, hola. So remember to join us. Come on, Brian is doing some amazing work around transformation. And you don't want to miss that. We are going to be talking about a system called Level 5 Mentoring. So for those of you who are my Facebook friends, check it out on my page and you will see that. And join the conversation on Wednesday morning. It's going to be vibrant. So if you are looking to get unstuck from anything, trust me, you want to be listening to that show. Again, I want to thank Lillian for sticking in there with us. And Lillian is eating one of my favorite cookies. I love peanut butter cookies too. And oatmeal raisins, Lillian. Those are my favorite. So you can have an extra one for me. And my guest again is Elise Bacaria, and Elise is just sharing her story of reinventing, and I tell you, she has the authority on reinventing, because for those of you who are just joining the broadcast, you heard her mention about being 4 years old and putting her hands on her hips and just answering a question that was intended for her mother. And it is important for us as human beings to stand up for ourselves. Too often we allow people to walk all over us. and you got to take a stand for what you believe in. So now, you went in, you had your experience with acupuncturists. Even the practitioner that was serving you recognized in you that you would be great at doing what he was doing. So you came, you got enrolled in school, and mm-hmm. you came out. Did you went right into your private practice, or you work with someone else first?
No, I went right into private practice. After my 4 years of schooling, I decided that there weren't that many acupuncturists up here in Brookfield, and that I live here, and I also wanted to bring the medicine to my community. So opened up my own practice and
wonderful. And what are some of the feedbacks you have gotten from your clients?
You mean in terms of the acupuncture?
Yeah.
Or a lot of my patients feel a lot better. They're kind of surprised at how they feel afterwards. Or, you know, with acupuncture, it's kind of a cumulative effect. So the more you come for a period of time, you feel a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better. But my patients, you know, a lot of them look forward to coming. A lot of them feel that this is the time that they take care of themselves in this crazy busy world. A lot of my patients, not all of them, but a lot of them are working women and working mothers, and they are, you know, trying to do it all, and it's great, and I encourage the women to come and kind of take that hour for themselves to kind of realign all the energies and kind of have somebody to talk to and to really ask them, how are you doing? How are you feeling emotionally? How are you feeling psychologically, spiritually? Because a lot of times, you know, today's society, people aren't really asking those questions of each other, and it's huge for them.
Let's talk about, I know from study and researches and all of that, acupuncture is intended as a maintenance practice. However, a lot of people tend to use it as a cure versus a preventative thing. They wouldn't go unless they have an ailment. So let us start talking about some of the conditions that can be benefited from acupuncture.
Okay.
Oh,
well,
before you answer that, you want to explain what acupuncture is for those people who are probably not sure. And then
okay, acupuncture is a form of Chinese medicine, and it's kind of based on a theory of we all hear about the yin and the yang. The yin is kind of the cold, the dark, the winter, the consolidation. The yang is kind of the heat, the summer, the building, the growth. And the idea is that when things are out of balance, there's signs and symptoms of what's going on with the body. So the idea is acupuncture, there are points on the body, and there are different channels on these points, different points on these channels that help regulate and give the body what it needs. So if it has too much of something, it takes it away, and if it has not enough of it, it brings it up. So it's kind of like a rebalancing and trying to get to that homeostatic state. Mm-hmm. where the energy is not flowing and getting stuck, there's often pain.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, if people get like migraine headaches, a lot of times that's a liver qi stagnation.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of dealing with a lot of stress in their life and a lot of frustration. So if we use points to kind of smooth out the liver qi and kind of relax and de-stress them, if there's too much heat, if there's a fever, we can reduce the fever. If there's a deficiency, like allergies or asthma, we kind of help tonify and help build up the lung qi to kind of get rid of if there's any kind of a latent pathology that's going on. And then there's the emotional aspect. You know, all the organs in Chinese medicine are associated with an emotion. So if there's, for instance, if you lose a loved one, and the lung qi is often the energy that is affected. You know, when someone dies, it's that gasping of air that's, oh my God, you know, they're shocked. And if a lot of times if that energy is not resolved, they can, it can lead to things like asthma. So we can kind of help deal with the emotional aspect and how the emotions are affecting the body physically and kind of, kind of turning things out of order.
Okay. All right, thank you. So would you now please discuss some of the conditions that can benefit from acupuncture?
Well, there's, you know, a lot of people know acupuncture is good for pain. That's probably the biggest thing. But it's good for a lot of other things, too. It's good for pain. It's good for dizziness, insomnia, arthritis, you know, obviously neck and shoulder pain, emotional and psychological disorders like depression, anxiety, circulatory disorders such as hypertension, angina, anemia, addictions is a big one to alcohol, nicotine, other drugs, you know, certain foods, people who crave coffee, you know, carbs, sweets, sugar, stuff like that, respiratory disorders, allergies, bronchitis, and then you go on to like gastrointestinal conditions, food allergies, ulcers, diarrhea, constipation, indigestion. I mean, there's really not, there's very few things, if any, I can't really think of any, that it really doesn't help. It helps, you know, with infertility, painful periods, a lot of.
At what age can someone begin to receive acupuncture?
Well, you know, babies can receive acupuncture. The difference between a small child or an infant, for instance, is that when they may not use needles, we use pressure and we use different tools that actually don't pierce the skin. But with children, we don't retain the needle, so they go in and they go out. So I have like a 5-year-old boy who comes in and he had some skin issues and some respiratory issues. And so we just kind of put the needles in and help tonify the lungs and build them up and then take them right out. So there's no, you know, a little kid's not going to let you leave needles in them. And oftentimes you kind of have to, you know, do a little bit of sneaking, a little bit of explaining. And but anybody of any age can benefit from acupuncture, especially if there's something that's a chronic condition or acute for that matter. I mean, either one.
Elise. I think you owe my listeners an explanation here because you talking about leaving needles in them. And, you know, my listeners going to be pumping up emails to me asking me if they're going home with needles. So you better explain yourself.
Okay. Well, the needles that we use are one-time use sterilized needles. And the difference between an acupuncture needle and a hypodermic needle or a needle that you would use for either an injection or for getting, you know, for giving blood, is the acupuncture needles are solid as opposed to being hollow. So they're a lot thinner, so they're finer, so they actually pierce the skin as opposed to puncturing it, meaning creating a hole. So the sensation is completely different. The needles are retained usually for about 15 to 20 minutes, sometimes 30 minutes, and then obviously the needles are taken out and disposed of in a biohazard container and then disposed of properly. So you don't go home with needles. Sometimes I will send my patients home with something that's called an ear seed, which is a small metal ball that's kind of connected to a little tiny round clear Band-Aid. And oftentimes I'll give them points on the ear, so for people who have anxiety disorders or some pain, they can actually have take-home seeds that go in the ear that actually don't pierce the skin, but actually will stimulate a pressure point on the ear.
So one application, what's the recommended time length for an application? For someone who is going to come in for an application.
What do you mean, how long does the session last?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, the initial session, when a new patient comes in, I like to spend about an hour and a half with them, and I go over their complete health history from their childhood to their current situation to the psychological well-being, physical well-being, emotional well-being, I ask a million questions, and that takes about an hour and a half, and that includes an acupuncture treatment. Follow-up
mm-hmm.
treatments can run usually about 45 minutes to an hour with,
mm-hmm.
you know, follow-up questions, and then the actual, we have to feel the tongue, we have to feel the pulse, we look at the tongue, we ask questions. All three of those things, we do some palpation. All those things, we determine what needs to get done, what points do I need to choose. So everybody who comes in, if I have 10 people that come in for anxiety, there may be 10 different reasons why people have anxiety. So everyone's treated very individually, and each point is specifically chosen to help that person. So it's not like one size fits all, which is
right.
kind
it's
of
not
a, the idea
not,
of medicine.
It's not a cookie cutter treatment.
No, it's not
let's
at
talk
all.
About let's talk about the tongue. What
uh-huh.
can you detect from an inspection of the tongue?
Well, the tongue is an interesting thing. We look at the tongue. When we look at the tongue, we are looking for the color of the tongue, the coating of the tongue, the shape of the tongue, whether it's you know kind of going to the left or to the right, whether it's quivering, whether there's teeth marks in it, and all the organs are kind of reflected in the tongue. So the tip of the tongue is the heart, and then going back is the lung, and then going back to the digestion, and then to the urinary bladder and the kidneys in the bottom. So we can kind of tell kind of what's going on with the body based on the tongue. So
mm-hmm.
if you ever see when you have a really bad cold, you'll see that your tongue kind of changes. If you start looking at your tongue every day, you'll see it changes. It changes with what you eat, and then it changes with how you feel. When you have a cold, you can see that there's sometimes kind of a greasy, cottage cheesy kind of coating on your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's red. It's there's no coat on it. It looks like it's on fire. A lot of times, women or anyone with anxiety, the tip of their tongue is very, very red and pointed. So we always look at the tongue to see kind of what's going on. Sometimes it tells us something that the patient doesn't tell us.
Ah,
or the patient doesn't know. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I think guests, even if you all did not get any other information, this was good right here. Because
yes.
I'm telling you, I've never learned or heard from any place to inspect my tongue to decide on what my body's doing. So I want to thank you for that little bit of, not little bit, for that investment and for that piece of information. And I want to encourage the guys in the chat room, come on, guys, call up. The telephone number is 646-915-8166. And just call in. You have a question? You have any ailment you want to talk about? Now, can acupuncture be used for someone who is looking to reduce their weight?
Yeah. I mean, with acupuncture, again, we treat everybody differently. So sometimes the question we always want to try to field out is, well, why are they gaining weight? Why are they having a hard time losing weight, for that matter? Are they sometimes weight gain is an indication that someone's emotionally holding on to something or protecting themselves from something or someone? So we kind of want to figure out, well, what's going on in their life? Are they in an abusive relationship? Are they protecting themselves from something? Are they holding on to, you know, the loss of their mother or their father? Or, you know, what's kind of going on? Are they eating the wrong foods? Is their body, is their stomach chi not working the right way? Is there, you know, are they not? And then it goes, you know, to the Western. Are they eating the right foods? Are they not eating the right foods? And they're not exercising enough. It's kind of, everybody's individual. So based on, you know, questioning and figuring out what's going on in their life on top of what they're eating or not eating and what they're doing. Are they stressed out? Are they kind of in that adrenal fatigue where they're always on guard and that, they're kind of that fight or flight. They're always kind of tense and kind of their body's kind of holding on to things. If we can kind of release them of that pressure a lot of times, or even the emotional, whatever they're holding on to emotionally, oftentimes the weight will start to, there's always that sometimes patients just need to kind of push away from the table a little bit earlier. You know what I mean? Sometimes it comes right down to that. They're just eating too much food, or they're eating processed foods, or they're eating the wrong foods for their body, or they're not digesting the right food, or they're, you know, not enough water, or whatever it is. But a lot of times with the acupuncture and with some lifestyle modifications, you can see that the people will, you know, the cravings that will be reduced, just if they're craving sugars or candies and sweets and stuff. You know, the cravings will also give an indication of what organ is out of whack. So people who crave the sweets is usually a spleen deficiency. They're worrying about something, or they're overthinking about something. Like students are often craving the sweets.
Someone in the chat room make a remark here, and I'm not sure whether it's in your area of expertise or not, but I'm still going to read it. I read that once a person hits menopause, they start losing muscle mass, which makes it more important to exercise after this mark in life. So it's after they lose the muscle mass, it's difficult to exercise. So do you have any knowledge of that, whether that is true or not? Is that
That is true. It's you know, there's that hormonal shift, and then we tend to lose the shift in the estrogen and the progesterone, and sometimes the testosterone. All the you know, during menopause, sometimes those hormones can go out of whack, and oftentimes, you know, it could be the thyroid also. The thyroid, you know, is the kind of go-to guy for the metabolism in the body. And once you hit 40, sometimes that thyroid starts to get a little wonky, and all of a sudden you gain weight, like, you know, overnight, and you're looking at yourself like, what happened? You get a redistribution of your body mass. You know, women of menopausal age tend to get they start to get a gut where they didn't have a gut, and they get a little softer. So diet is super important. Exercising is important. You know, eating clean water, clean food, staying away from processed foods, staying away from caffeine, alcohol, things like that. Those, you know, those are the most important things when you start to transition at that stage, because it's can wreak havoc on your body and make people a little nutty. But acupuncture can kind of help relieve that too.
So for people who are listening, who they really don't have any ailments and anything like that, they just want to say, you know, I'm going to start this acupuncture thing because I want to maintain a healthy body and lifestyle. What can they do, and how often should they do that? I want to welcome guests 4799 to the chat. If you have any questions about acupuncture, feel free to call in. The number is 646-915-8166. Or if you want to type your question in the chat room, I'll be more than happy to read it for you. Yes, so for someone that wants to maintain their health.
Yep. Well, acupuncture can help increase your immune system. So to help, you know, kind of fend off that the flu bug that comes around every year, or to kind of build up your immune system so that you don't get sick as often, and you feel better, you're sleeping better, you're more relaxed. I mean, everyone's exposed to environmental toxins on all different levels, whether it's from the food, whether it's from the water, from the air, you know, from driving in your car. Acupuncture is one of those things that it's a great preventative medicine. I have patients that will come in with an ailment, and then once that ailment is resolved, they kind of come in for exactly what you said, for the maintenance, for to kind of keep everything in balance, keep their vitality and their energy level up, and their immune system up, and their mood up, and everything's when everything's running smoothly in your body, everything's better.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody can use a little bit of kind of tweaking a little bit.
Tweaking,
you know?
So they should at least do that whole often.
I mean, if they're healthy, I would, you know, I have patients that a lot of my patients come in every 3 weeks, every once a month. Some patients only come in seasonally. like before the flu season, they come in just to kind of give their immune system a kind of a boost and to kind of check in. Yeah, kind of like your yearly physical in a sense.
Mm-hmm,
do it seasonally.
All right. I just need to take a break again.
Okie dokie.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
And we want to remind you that we are on the air again on Wednesday morning, 10 to 12. And my guest this week will be Mr. Brian D. Ridgway out of Hawaii. If you are looking to get unstuck, if you're looking to tune up your business, listen, you need to listen to what Brian has to say. So join me Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock. Tell all your friends and listen. We have another 26 minutes remaining on the show, so tweet all your friends and let them come with their questions. Listen, I don't want the emails after Elise is gone. I need her to answer the questions firsthand. So call her or type the questions in the chat room, and I will share it with her. Yes, so what are some of the signs and symptoms that can let us know that certain organs are out of whack? If you want to, like, tell us if this is happening, it means that is not working and so on.
A lot of it is somewhat similar to Western medicine. So one of the obvious things is let's start with the lungs. The lungs, when they're kind of out of whack, you can either get shortness of breath, chest tightness, you know, difficulty either inhaling or exhaling. In Chinese medicine, the organs are kind of, I call them like they're married to another organ. So the lung and the large intestine are married to each other. And the lung is the yin organ and the large intestine is the yang organ. And when those are out of whack, often you'll see people who have asthma often have skin issues, whether they have eczema, psoriasis or not. The lung, even though people don't really associate it with the skin, is connected to the skin.
Mm-hmm.
And a lung deficiency or imbalance will come out as as a skin disorder oftentimes. So, and then go with the large intestine, which obviously its Western function is, you know, reabsorbing water in the body, but also, you know, constipation or diarrhea or difficulty passing. I mean, we ask questions about, you know, stool and I hate to be graphic, but what it looks like, if it's difficult to pass, you know, if there's any undigested food. These are kind of clues as to kind of what's going on in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have things like nighttime urination with the kidneys and the urinary bladder. A lot of times people who have either, as they get older, they experience more and more, you know, waking to urinate. And so what we do is we like to tonify the kidneys because as we get older, our kidney energy naturally declines. And when the kidney energy declines, it increases the kidney energy has to work a little bit harder. And the indication is that the nighttime urination or the frequent urination. And then you have things like, you know, your basic cold and flu where it starts off as, you know, a stiff neck or, you know, kind of like your neck gets stiff and you got the chills and the fever and a runny nose. That we kind of want to, what we call, release the exterior and can get rid of an external pathogen. But each organ has a different function like it does in Western medicine. Sometimes it's the same as in Western medicine, but a lot sometimes it's a little bit different with Chinese medicine. I'm trying to think of another one. The liver and the gallbladder are kind of married to each other, and the liver is kind of in charge of the smooth flow of chi in the body. And when people the emotion that's associated with that the liver and the gallbladder is anger and frustration. And sometimes that's an indication that there's either a liver chi stagnation or there's an imbalance going on, that people are short-tempered and they're irritable, they get dry red eyes, and they get they have a sense of frustration all the time. When we kind of smooth out that liver chi flow, or even they emotionally they have a kind of a waffling thing where they kind of can't make decisions. I want to leave my husband, but I don't want to leave him. I'm back and forth and back and forth. That's kind of a gallbladder energy that can't make the decision. So if we kind of boost that energy up and kind of give people, you know, so they that saying of give them the gall to do, to make the changes that they need to make.
Ali.
Yeah.
Why didn't you say I want to leave my wife and I can't leave my wife? Why it always have to be the poor woman?
Well, it's not the poor woman. But I mean, honestly, a lot of my patients are women, and
I'm speaking on you.
Just, yeah, it's not just women. It's women, men. It's whatever, you know. Whoever it is.
Yeah.
My significant other, my partner, my, you know. Whatever.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
As a licensed acupuncturist, do you get involved in dietary or nutritional suggestions?
Yeah, I do. I often ask people what they're eating, and a lot of times foods. I ask them foods that they're craving. Are you craving sweets? Are you craving salty foods? Are you craving, sour foods? That's like each of the organs are associated with, an emotion and also a taste. So it's again, all these questions kind of paint a picture of what's kind of really going on.
Let's work on sour.
Sour.
What is that telling you?
Sour is the liver and the gallbladder.
Ah.
Yeah. So people, it's green. It's the color of in Chinese medicine, the liver and the gallbladder are associated with the wood element, and it's a sour taste, and it's the springtime. You know, when things become, they bud and they start to turn green. That's the time of year when things are changing and moving and budding and spreading out and reaching up, and lots of growth goes on during the wood. And that's when people sometimes get like that spring fever where they kind of feel like they've got ants in their pants and they're kind of easily agitated.
Yeah,
that's a liver thing. That's a wood. Mm-hmm. It's a wood thing, really.
Sweet.
Sweet is the spleen and the stomach. So oftentimes people who are worriers, because the emotion is worry or overthinking, that's a spleen thing. Spleen is that's the earth element, and a lot of time the imbalance is either like a dampness or a heaviness. People who feel like they're sluggish or kind of like their legs feel heavy. That's usually a spleen thing. People who overthink and worry, that's an earth kind of imbalance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful. As you look back over your clientele, which gender makes the most cooperative client/patient?
I think, I don't know if there's one over the other. I think... Mm. Women, if I put a gun to my head and I had to choose, I would have to say it may be women.
No.
But I think that anyone that comes to see me, they need, I can only do so much. They have to kind of, work as a team with me to figure out what do they need from me and then what do they need from themselves. What changes do they need to make? Do they need to make changes in their lifestyle, in their diet, in their relationships? Do they need to address a past trauma in their life? It's never one thing. I can't make people lose weight. I can't make people, take time to relax and to kind of de-stress themselves and take the time to take care of themselves.
Which gender is more scared of the thought of a needle?
I would have to say, if again, men, I think, overall.
Good.
That's overgeneralizing, which you wouldn't think. You know, men seem to come in tough, but I had a patient come in last week who he's like, the only thing that's ever stopped me from coming for acupuncture is, he's like, I have such a fear of needles. And I said, listen, we're going to work together. We're going to breathe. But I said, I promise you, if you feel any pain, that the needles will come out, and that's it. I'm not here to torture you. I'm not here to cause you discomfort. But usually after that first needle, people are like, did you put it in? I didn't even feel it.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's
the word needle, they think of a traditional needle.
Yeah.
You know, who knows whether the first needle they saw as a child was the needle used by a shoemaker.
Mm-hmm.
So every time you hear the word needle, you automatically go to the needle that a shoemaker wears.
Sure. Or even, I mean, you know, giving blood is not, you know, the doctor was always like, it's only going to hurt like a bee sting. Well, if you've ever gotten stung by a bee, you know, that's really huge pain. Yeah.
You don't know what that is, you know.
Yeah.
And if you get stung by a bee and you're someone that have an allergic reaction, that's not something you want to recall.
Sure,
and
no,
it's something you want to pull on.
Or even injections as kids, you know, when they get the vaccines and everything, those are not fun. Again, it's the size of the needle is very, 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 they're like thin hairs.
Mm-hmm.
They're very, very thin. And when I show them to people, they're less fearful of it. And then once the first needle goes in, they're kind of like, oh, okay. And then as time goes on, they become more and more relaxed and they start to feel the effects of it.
And
I'm the biggest baby too, by the way.
I beg your pardon.
I'm the biggest baby when it comes to getting acupuncture. I mean, I tend to be a little bit like, it takes me a little bit mind over matter to kind of relax myself to accept
really?
The needles and to, oh yeah, yeah.
Really?
So
how often do you get acupuncture?
I try to get it at least once a month. If there's something that's coming up for me, then I will get it more often. It kind of depends. I have, you know, obviously friends that are also acupuncturists that I will go see.
Yeah, because I was going to ask whether a licensed acupuncturist can apply their own treatment. I know that you wouldn't be able to do it on your back.
It's
but
hard because, you know,
of your body.
Yeah. Yeah, we do, you know, we need needle bilaterally, so it's the points are on both sides. So, you know, the legs and the feet, yeah, I can do that, but when you start to get most of the points that we use are from the knees down and from the elbows down. So, the knees down, not so much of a problem, but when it gets to the arms, you can only do kind of one arm at a time. And I'm not a big fan of that. I think, you know, when you want acupuncture, it should be done by someone else.
Yeah, so you can at least relax and enjoy the moment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I've rid myself of a migraine headache just because, you know, it's the middle of the night and, you know, you can't wait till the morning to go see your friend. So
right.
I'll throw a needle in my foot to kind of help relieve that.
Mm-hmm. No, what is it like working on your husband?
He loves it. I mean, my husband is... You know, he's a business owner, and he's a very hands-on business owner where he does a lot of physical labor, where he removes underground oil tanks and gas stations, the tanks from gas stations, and so he's lots of digging and using big equipment and lifting things. So he always has a lot of aches and pains.
Oh.
So he likes to get acupuncture, and he also has an underlying allergy problem. So we tend to, you know, the seasons start to change. We like to get ahead of it and, you know, tonify those lungs so that he can kind of deal with all the pollen, especially since he works outside so much. He's got to, you know, be protected from it. Otherwise, he's miserable with the sneezing and the eyes and all the congestion. It's not fun. So he gets to, you know, benefit from it.
Wonderful, wonderful. Do you have any lingering questions in your mind that you were thinking I would have asked you that I have not?
No, I think we kind of covered a lot of it. I mean, I think people's the biggest fear, I think, is with people is the needles, like you said. That's probably the one thing that stops people from coming in. I assure people that it's really, you'd be surprised at how not bad it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not, it's really not what they think. They kind of think of that Hellraiser guy with the needles, pinhead with the needles in his face, and they're like nails, and
mm-hmm.
it's like some kind of form of torture, and it really is a much more of a subtle, especially with me, because
mm-hmm.
I'm so needle sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
My patients will tell you that my touch is very light. I go
mm-hmm.
very gently and easy with my patients, because that's
mm-hmm.
how I want to be needled.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of give that energy towards them, and I work with them if they're anxious about it. I
mm-hmm.
put in the ones to calm them down first, and then
mm-hmm.
you know, try to talk them and have them breathe through it, and take
mm-hmm.
you know, take it slow and not try to, you know, scatter their chi in a sense.
Elise, I want for you to give us your closing thoughts on our conversation today. What you want to leave the listeners with, and then afterwards, would you please tell them how to get in touch with you?
Sure. Well, I think anyone of any age can benefit from acupuncture as some kind of either a preventative medicine or something, either physical ailments, a long-term ailment, side effects from medications. Oftentimes people, you know, after antibiotics have digestion problems. I think that, you know, acupuncture really can help a lot of things. Both physically and psychologically and emotionally, to rid yourself of you know, aches and pains and you know, sometimes emotional traumas and fear-based things. I think that it's you know, it's a real natural way to kind of help yourself be the best that you can be and feel the best that you can be.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, I do offer free consultations for people that are kind of wondering, is it right for me? Is it right for my loved one? Is it right for my child? So I'm always, I love talking about what I do, and I love educating people without giving them a hardcore sales pitch of, oh, just come on in and try it. It's really more of a, you kind of need to be committed to trying it and be open to receiving, you know, receiving the care that I'm going to give you. So I think that's really kind of half the battle. But my office is in Brookfield. I'm at 777 Federal Road, which is just before the Four Corners in Brookfield by the four gas stations. My hours are by appointment. I do evening appointments. I do weekend appointments. I kind of work around people's schedule because I live about 5 minutes from my house, which is convenient. So
wow.
A lot of times people, you know, last minute, they, you know, they're getting out of work early, or they're kind of feeling crappy or whatever, they can come in and no problem. And I do have a website, which is www.lotusfloweracupuncturecenter.com.
Mm-hmm.
They can check me out there. I have a lot of good information on there. There's also a way to get in touch with me. My phone number is also 203-546-7117. And my email is my first initial, which is A, and then my last name, which is BECCARIA, and then the initials LAC, which stands for Licensed Acupuncturist, @gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to the Lotus Flower Acupuncture Center, everything's on there too. And I'm also on Facebook and Twitter
mm-hmm.
and all that stuff, where I post, you know, lifestyle, not just about mm-hmm. acupuncture, but about lifestyle stuff,
mm-hmm.
things that I find interesting for my patients, and things I find interesting for myself that I think people would benefit from knowing.
There's something I wanted to ask and I forgot. What's gua sha?
Gua sha.
Gua sha and coping and box B.
Moxa? Yeah, okay. Cupping is we use these glass cups, which we basically burn a piece of alcohol inside to kind of pull out, to burn out the oxygen, and it's kind of almost like flicked onto the skin, and it pulls up the muscle from the fascia. It's great for muscle tension. It's great for detoxing. It's great for removing pathogens and, you know, the side effects from medications. It helps invigorate the chi and blood, increases the immune system. That's a great way for people who have aches and pains, you know, neck and shoulder tightness.
Mm-hmm.
The gua sha is a similar modality, except we use a kind of a jade tool and we kind of lightly scrape the skin, and it creates what they call sha, which is kind of a redness. And again, it's for muscle tension and for any kind of, you know, pathogens that are lingering. Mm. And then moxibustion is we burn an herb called mugwort, and what that does is it kind of, aside from heating, it actually kind of invigorates the qi and the blood in the area. So people often who have low back pain, you'll feel that they have cold backs, and it helps kind of warm up the kidneys and warm up the area, kind of boost their vitality in a sense.
Ah, so
yeah.
maybe I need that for my cold back, huh?
Yeah, yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, an interesting fact about the moxibustion is it's actually used to help turn breech babies. We burn it on the little pinky toe, and it helps. And when a baby's in breech position, we help. It helps turn a baby, so the mother doesn't have to go through that that manual manipulation of turning the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty effective instead of going through that pain.
Mm-hmm. I want to welcome guest 5119 to the chat. You just caught the last section of the show. Do you have a question for my licensed acupuncturist? This is your time to call in 646-915-8166, or you can type it in the chat room. So if you have a question, this is your chance, because we are whining down. We are whining down. Well, Elise, I wanted to thank you for coming on the show and for investing in my listeners' health and well-being. And I just pray that there is something that you have said that will enlighten the listeners so that they will begin to take action about how they treat themselves and the options that they should take as a preventative measure versus waiting until something happened for cure. And again, just give your information again slower, please.
My phone number is 203-546-7117. My website is www.lotusfloweracupuncturecenter.com. I'm also Lotus Flower Acupuncture Center is on Facebook. My Twitter is my full name, which is Elise Beccaria, A-L-I-S-E, B like boy, E-C-C-A-R-I-A. And I'm located at 777 Federal Road in Brookfield, right next to a lot of the local people know Yoga Space and A Cut Above and Kids Castle. I'm in that complex there. But also, I wanted one thing to mention. I want to make sure that when people do go for acupuncture, to find a licensed acupuncturist.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important to go to a licensed acupuncturist, because
mm-hmm.
we have the 3,000 hours of training, as opposed to a certified acupuncturist, which only has about 200 hours of video training and no hands-on training. So it's a big difference between those two types of acupuncture.
Okay.
And, make sure they're licensed.
Give me a break here, because a friend of mine from Las Vegas just came in the chat room, and I want to ask her if she has the last 3 minutes. Bonnie, do you have a question for the licensed acupuncturist? We are down to the last 3 minutes.
Down to the wire.
So do you have a question, Bonnie? Okay, she's, how come I can't hear? I don't know. You got to check your headset, Bonnie. And anyway, we are down to the last 3 minutes. And I was asking, do you have a question? So she's saying she cannot hear. How come I can't hear? So Again, I want to thank you, Elise. I guess she'll have to catch the archive. And if she have any questions, she can email you.
Yep.
Keep touching lives. Keep healing bodies.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for giving me the time to talk to you and to talk to all your wonderful friends.
All right. Well, thank you. And I look forward to seeing you real soon.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
My destiny.
I
know.